Well, good evening. Trust everyone had a good afternoon. We'll have a word of prayer and get started in just a moment. And just a reminder, we will be taking up another love offering tonight. And when we take up our love offering, also, if you have not turned in your faith promise cards, again, that's on the end of that card. Just tear it off. Make sure you mark it clearly. Even after you've torn it off, make sure it's still legible and clearly marked weekly, bi-weekly, or monthly. Make sure it's clearly marked so we can, those who can count it can have the opportunity to count those things. And we'll do that a little bit later in the service. But please, if you would, several folks have turned some card in already. I know I have as well this morning, or in the offering plate there in the hallway. So please just get those turned in when we take up our offering. If the Lord has not given you peace and you're still not sure, that's fine. If you're arguing with the Holy Spirit, which you shouldn't be, and you're not sure what you're going to do, just go ahead and put it in. And if it changes and it increases, which it always increases when you argue with the Holy Spirit, just turn in another one on Sunday with the increased portion, not the whole portion. So the Lord says, no, I told you $20 more a week or $20 more a month. Then just put in that $20 extra a month come next Sunday. Hope that's clear. If you have any questions, just ask. If you're not sure about arguing with the Holy Spirit, see Michelle. She'll tell you how that works. We've been talking this week about giving, what the Lord has us to do, and taking we know and not know and change. So it's been a blessing. So we're going to have a word of prayer, and then I think the trio is going to open for us. We've had a request from one of our missionary ladies for the trio to sing again, and we'll get started with our service. Lord, we love you so much, and thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the privilege and joy of service and fellowship. Thank you for what you've done over the last several days and this morning. I pray that you continue to work in our hearts and missions. Give us a heart, not only for missions, but Lord, also give us a heart and a memory to pray that the Lord would send forth new laborers and more laborers into the field, Lord, and help us to be those laborers right here where we live. Now bless us tonight, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, I started out with the made-up mind to one day cross the finish line. I'm pressing toward the mark and for the prize. At times I've had to stand my ground and Satan's tried to turn me around, but I will not be hindered by his lies. I'm not gonna walk away. I've got too much at stake, and I've come too far to turn back now. Every battle that I have fought will soon be forgotten. I'm trading this old cross in for a crown. Well, I can almost hear them cheer me on and see the ones who have reached home. Now they await for us to win this race. A banquet like we've never known will be held at God's royal throne, and there will be rewarded for our faith. I'm not gonna walk away. I've got too much at stake, and I've come too far to turn back now. Every battle that I have won will soon be forgotten. I'm trading this old cross in for a crown.
Oh, I'm not
gonna walk away.
I've got
too much at stake,
and I've come
too far to turn back now. Every battle I have fought will soon be forgotten. I'm trading this old cross in for a crown.
Yes, I'm
trading this old cross in for a crown.
Oh, no, I'm not
gonna walk away. I've got too much at stake, and I've come too far to turn back now. Every battle that I have fought will soon be forgotten. I'm trading this old cross in for a crown.
Oh, I'm
trading this old cross in for a crown.
announcements here, and we'll take up our offering here in just a moment. Don't forget, if you have your faith promise card filled out, just go ahead and pull it apart and put it in as we take up our love offering tonight. We'll do that in just a few moments. Don't forget, Wednesday night, we'll have a brief business meeting on Wednesday night during our Wednesday night service, talking about missions and taking on some missionaries, Lord willing, several. And so that'll be Wednesday night. And then, of course, don't forget Memorial Day service. Before Memorial Day, our children will have a part in that service. So make sure you're here for that and encourage the little ones. And then right after the service tonight, Lord willing, have time to spend some time with the missionaries a little more before they take off tomorrow. But over in the fellowship hall, and I believe Sister Abigail Davis's family is traveling through. They're going to whip by here, and so they can see her and also be a part of her fellowship on their way back as they're traveling on to California. So pray for them as they travel. Men, don't forget Tuesday morning for the men's coffee fellowship and Bible study. Ladies, Thursday morning for your Bible study at 10 o'clock here in the fellowship hall over here in Building B. And, of course, our midweek service 6, as I mentioned, about the business meeting. All right, I think I covered most of the announcements I felt like I really needed to make tonight. And then also, I know every once in a while I've been pushing for testimonies and encouragement. So before we take up the offering, anyone who want to share a blessing, or maybe, if I mentioned before, you've learned something about a Harvest family member that you didn't know before and you'd like to share. Oh, wow, two ladies just whipped their hand. Oh, Brother Mike, you too, Brother Mike? Huh? Well, I'm asking people that want to share what they've learned something new about one of their Harvest family members as well. Michelle? Amen. Miss Kitty? Huh?
I said I'm losing my
teeth. Oh, yeah, Miss Kitty. What I heard was Michelle doesn't work right now. Back when she was in the banking industry. Okay, that's what you referred to. I guess I better get on that real quick, huh? So I would ask somebody else. Wait a minute, I heard something today. Wait a minute, who was it? Miss Marley, maybe I'll think about it while you share yours. By nature. Yeah. All right. Brother Mike? By nature. Yeah. All right. Brother Mike?
I learned that Kitty's got the same middle name as one of our students, Theater.
Good. I want to encourage you to learn something new about one another. That's why I ask this once in a while. And sometimes it's in jest, sometimes it's in fun. It's always fun. It's always fun, but it's good for a family to laugh together as well as pray together and cry together. Now let's be a little more serious before we take up the offering. Anyone want to share a blessing or testimony about the missions conference that started this past Wednesday? Amen. My desire as we grow as a church to have, of course, we have a missions conference every year, but as we grow as well, is it maybe even a smaller booster conference along the year, 6 months along the way, kind of in between as the Lord allows us to grow, getting more people involved in missions. I really love missions, and I have a heart for missions and get excited about what's going on. Brother Mike. And when word gets out that Harvest Baptist Church loves missionaries and takes care of missionaries, I'll be getting phone calls all the time with missionaries wanting to come. And I hope we get to the point we can have one in every month. That would be a wonderful blessing as the Lord provides. Anyone else before we take up our offering? Yes, Miss Marlene. Amen. Amen. All right, if there's no one else, we'll go ahead and take up our offering tonight. Who will be taking up? Brother Sam? All right, Brother Sam. Again, tonight, if you have not turned in your card, please do so. And, of course, this will be the last love offering. If you wanted to give and wasn't able to, needed a little more time, just see me after the service. We will not be sending out the bulk of the love offering to our missionaries till later this week, and some of that will be after our meeting on Wednesday night as well, as I want to talk to the church about some things, as God has been really good to us, and our love offerings has been very good this week, and we have some other missions monies as well carried over from last year, and we'll talk about that as Wednesday, about being even more so of a blessing to our missionaries. Brother Sam, please ask God's blessings on our faith promise commitments to be turned in tonight, as well as our love offering.
Lord and Father, we just thank you for the privilege of participating in the Great Commission through our missionaries. And Lord, we just thank you for the messages we've heard today and throughout this week, encouraging us to remember those missionaries and learn about the ones that we do support and others that we perhaps will support. Lord, just thank you for your word and your plan for for providing for those missionaries, and we thank you for the privilege of participating through Faith Promise Giving. Lord, we just pray that we'll be known as a missionary-minded church, Lord, through this, and this will be, this first mission conference will be the start of many to come. They'll be greater, and give us a greater focus on reaching the world through missions, Lord. I just pray you'll be honored in all that happens and all that's done, Lord, and our mission giving will increase, Lord, and not because we look for the blessings, but we know you will bless us as we participate in this area. We just thank you for the all you do for us, the way you provide for us, Lord. And I wish we take the offering and the giving, perhaps the tithes this evening, but Lord, we just thank you for all that you are guiding us through with the mission, Faith Promise Mission Giving. We ask you to sing a thank you in Jesus' precious name.
Savior, and he's in love with me. He is with me from day to day. What a friend is he. Watches over me while I sleep, hears me when I pray. I'm as happy as I can be, and now I can say, somebody loves me, answers my prayers. I love somebody, I know he cares. Somebody tells me not to repine. That somebody is Jesus, and I know he's mine. You'll be happy if you will let Jesus have his way. He has work for us all to do every passing day. Feed the hungry and cheer the sad, for the sinner pray. You'll have joy that you never had, and then you can say, somebody loves me, answers my prayers. I know of somebody, I know he cares. Somebody tells me not to repine. That somebody is Jesus, and I know he's mine. When our work is done, he will call us home to a mansion he has prepared, never more to roam. We'll sit down by the riverside, cares all passed away, and with never a pain to bear, what a happy day. Somebody loves me, answers my prayers. I love somebody, I know he cares. Somebody tells me not to repine. That somebody is Jesus, and I know he's mine. That somebody is Jesus, and I know he's mine.
Well, again, we thank you for having us. Thank you for everything, the gift cards, the fruit baskets, the room to stay in, and all the meals and the 20 pounds you've given us. And I appreciate that a great, great deal. And I told Lisa, she said, she was talking, I says, all we did, I feel like, is we got up, we eat, go to lunch and we eat, and then we go and have dinner and we eat. And so I'm going to have to hibernate for a little while. But it has been great, and the fellowship and the kindness that you've shown, not just to my family, but I'd probably speak out on behalf of the Davis family, the Nez family, the Harrison family, on how and I wish I could portray this and give it to you. It's just words, and I know traveling, y'all probably don't, but the way you've treated us has just been outstanding. And y'all have done a great, great job, and the detail and every aspect of it, thank you. And thank you, Pastor, for putting this meeting on, and I do pray that it's met every desire that you had and a whole lot more. And I'm looking forward to the days ahead of what God's going to do here at Harvest Baptist Church, and to get to hear the reports in the days ahead. It's just going to be, it to me, as a looking from the outside in, it's just going to be a joy to watch. And you get tunnel vision. You must have it's cutting back out again. I don't know what's going on, but he said sometimes when you wrap the cord, I'll let her roll. I don't normally do that, but we'll see this time. But, just everything you've done, and I'm looking forward just to hearing the good reports in the days ahead of how God's met needs, and how he does that, and so all that he continues to do. Well, let's take our Bibles, go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, and I'm going to look at a thought real quick tonight, and again, we appreciate your patience with me, and I just love missions. I mean, especially faith promise given. It's something that has been just absolutely, God has put in my heart, and so I do appreciate y'all being patient with me, and I've prayed that maybe for those that may be not too familiar with it, maybe it has challenged you to trust the Lord more, and to walk by faith, and to live by faith, and to trust him even more and more. 2 Corinthians 9, we're going to look here at verse number 6, and just I'm going to look at a word, and it's going to show up a few times in these scriptures. It says this here in verse number 6, 2 Corinthians 9, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he's purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always have an all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, and he hath given to the poor, and his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both ministers bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the wants of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God. While by the experiment of this ministration they glorified God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." I want to look at this thought, and it shows up three times in these scriptures that I read. I want to look at the thanks and faith promise. The thanks and faith promise. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we sure do love you because you first loved us, and God, you've been good to us. And Lord, you've given us more than we've ever deserved, and Lord, just to be able to give back to you is just a great honor. And Lord, I pray that there has been something that has been preached. Lord, we know your word will not return unto you void. Lord, it may have been the first time that some has ever heard anything about faith promise. And Lord, and I know sometimes when you hear something new, it sometimes can be very scary. And I do know that. But Lord, I'm asking, would you help now our unbelief? God, I'm asking that we would walk out of here and say, I've never saw it on that fashion before. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd touch your messenger just one more time. Oh, God, I do pray. Help us that you'd allow us to deliver the message that you have for us tonight, that we're just the vessel of clay, and Lord, that our hearts and minds be in tune with you and you alone. Thank you again for all that you do, and we're going to bless your name. We love you and thank you and honor you, and we ask in the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Here in 2 Corinthians, Paul is, of course, dealing with the church of Corinth, given the example of the church of Macedonia back in chapter number 8. He's coming through these scriptures about giving, and now we've come down in verse number 6, and the Bible says there's the planting that is here. We see in verse 6 that, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. I've tried the best that I can this week by God's grace is to show you that you will never outgive God. Never. Given a faith promise, God is going to give back more, and I've tried to show that in the scriptures. This morning we tried our best to show you that if you give, and then God said, if you'll do this, then I'm going to do my part. And God always does more than what we do. You ever notice that? He says, call unto me, and then he says, and I will answer thee and shew thee great mighty things which thou knowest not, if my people which are called by my name. And then he talked about how he'll heal our land. And I say, if we will do our part, God always comes through on his part. And so we see that there is the planting, there's the sowing that's here. He says, he which soweth sparingly, and he's given us a contrast. It talks about he that soweth sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Can I say, there's that aspect of sowing and reaping. If you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. One pastor, I've only been in 3 Baptist churches, and the one I've been at for 21, starting my 22nd year at Anchor Baptist Church, and the first two that I was at, I left right. I talked to the pastors before I left. Never left wrong or was mad. It was just time for me to leave. And when you leave right, you can always go back right. And I was there, and one pastor I was with, Pastor Roy Waldrop, he lived in the mountains of Western North Carolina, and his mom and dad planted big farms because he lived on a farm. They used to do it by a mule and an old plow, and it's how they used to do all their fields. And one thing, my pastor, he never did like planting beans. He says, I never could do that. He said, I don't know why it bothered me. He said, I just thought it was just a struggle just to plant beans. And his mom come to him and handed him a bag of seed of beans. And he said, son, I need you to go plant them beans today. It's time. The ground's warm. And it's that time of year. And, of course, they do the moons and all the phases back in the mountains. And there is some truth to that, I know. But as he was going out, and Pastor Roy, he says, I was a boy. And he said, I got to playing. And he said, next thing I know, I played the day away. And I had, he said, and I had all these seeds. And he says, and I didn't plant them seeds. And so he said, I got a bright idea. He said, I got the end of that row, and he got to where those beans were supposed to be planted, and he dug a big old hole, and he poured all that seed in one big hole. And he come home, and his mama said, son, did you plant those beans? Yes, mama, I planted them. Time went by, and the mama was waiting for them beans to come up down that row, and never did come up, and never did come up, and said, son, did you plant them beans? Yeah, Mama, I planted all of them like you'd asked me to. Finally, it all started to show up at the post of where he was supposed to plant them beans. All of a sudden, these little beans started sprouting out, and they were all in one hole. And I say, you can sow, but you can sow wrong. He sowed all them beans in one big hole, but the problem is they'll never produce. He says, he sowed, but he said, one thing I did, he said, oh, I thought I was sowing bountifully. I tried to get out of a job, but what I did, I sowed it all in one hole, and I didn't do it right. And because I didn't do it right, he says, we didn't have no beans that year. And he said, it was all my fault. He sowed sparingly, he reaped sparingly. And this is what he said. He said, if I'd have sowed them right, he said, we would have had beans for the winter. I say there's that aspect of planting. There's a right way of doing it, and there's a wrong way to do it. God is telling us the right way is bountifully, and if you want to sow sparingly, and by the way, verse number 6, I don't know why I'm hung up here. Verse number 6, it's a choice of yours. You read that, it says, but he that soweth what? Sparingly shall reap also sparingly, but he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. It comes down to your decision of what you're going to do or what you will not do.
Always has that action. So we see there's the planting. I looked at this the other night, so I won't have to spend no time on this verse. And we see the purposely of it. He says, every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give. There's the placement. I hit this the other night about the heart. And can I say, it all comes within the heart and the performance of it. Let him give. And then the pleasingness of it. He says, not of grudgingly or necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. There's the happiness that comes with it. We looked at that the other night. I won't have to deal much time with that, and I'll be able to get into the message, but there is that aspect. Can I say, a Christian can be happy in your giving. The Bible tells us that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. I think some of y'all have learned, I like to have a good time. I like to be serious when I need to be serious. I'm for that. There's times in life you just got to buckle down, and there's no room for playing around and joking. You've got to get at it. But then there's sometimes I just like to joke, because a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Well, can I say your countenance can be that way, and you can have a cheerful countenance. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. Can I say, when you're happy, everybody knows you're happy. And when you're sad, everybody knows that you're sad. But I've often watched as people, not all the time, but I've watched people that don't really give. Can I say miserableness always is linked to stinginess. Always. When you have people that are willing to give, they're some of the happiest people that you know. Because they have that heart of giving. They have that heart to want to do something. And they want to do that. They're not trying to figure out how they can skimp by it. But may I say, there's that action of being happy. Can I say, there's the purposely of it in verse 7. But not only that, but look at the plenty in verse number 8. And it says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always have all sufficiency, and all things may abound to every good work. Can I say, there's a providing of this. Grace is that provision. And I circled these in my Bible. If you circle in your Bible, he says, God is able. Can I say, God is able to do that which is exceeding abundantly above. The problem is, I think sometimes we limit that what God can do because we don't trust that he can. But here, Paul is writing to the church of Corinthians. He said, I just want to remind you, God is able. Can I tell you, Harvest Baptist Church? God's able. He's able to meet every need this church has in this year and the next year and the years ahead and the years. If he don't come back and call us here immediately and we're here for another 10 years, can I tell you, Paul wrote it and it's still the same today. God's still able. I mean, there's never a time that God's not able. And Paul is saying here, God's able, watch this, to make all. Can I say, it's just not some grace. Can I say, God's able to make all grace. And that provision of what we need, he provides that. And watch what he says here. He says, not only that he's able to make to all grace to abound toward you, that you have all sufficiency, plenty, won't run out. I mean, it's like I was preaching on that meal barrel the other night. When you get to the bottom of yours, you're getting to the top of his. You'll never run out. And Paul is saying, hey, just trust God. He's got all grace. He's got all sufficiency. He's got plenty. But can I say, and all things may abound to every good work. Can I say, there's the product of it. The work that God has for you. God wants this, and I appreciate the prayer tonight. God, would you make us to people would know that we are a missions-loving church? I like that. Can I tell you what that is? The work of God. That's God's work. That's God's heartbeat. Do you realize the heartbeat of God is people? But, I mean, God was a mission-minded God. And even God the Father sent God the Son. Why? To be a missionary, to reach the lost. You think about it in that aspect. And you find his disciples, they were never without. You find others in the Bible, they're never without. You find others that did the work of God. Even Paul was writing, hey, I learned. And when he said, godly contentment's great gain, he says, I've learned to be a base. I've learned to be full. You read his life and everything he went through. And yet at the end, he's coming down and saying, I just want you to know, when I went through all the things I went through, God was still plenty. God made sure that the work was taken care of. And can I tell you, Harvest Baptist Church, God's work can be taken care of by God. And so we see that there's the plenty. Can I say the miracle of giving produces the ministry of giving? You find that time and time again that when somebody starts giving And you say, well, we may not make our budget that we're wanting. Well, you know, this is the way you may not, but you got a good start. But what I have seen that when something like this starts and people are stepping out and doing faith promise for the very first time, I've watched it time and time again in churches all across the land, and I've preached many faith promise meetings, some that are very well established. I preach in some that's never heard of it. But I've watched those that's never heard of it and catch a hold of that. You watch their church. It changes over the years. It's just like a miracle, because people that maybe were a little bit hesitant about getting in on faith promise, they see God blessing other people. And you know what happens? It produces the ministry of giving. Just like I used my daughters the other night, and I was telling, you know, they were just teenagers, didn't have a job, and yet they come to me and said, Daddy, we want to do faith promise. And this is the reason why, because I asked them, I said, why? They said, we want to experience what you experience from God. That is the ministry of giving. And when you and you may be a little hesitant in here, and you're watching other people, and they testify and say, boy, can I tell you how God met this need? Oh, can I say it? And you'll watch that testimony, and you'll see the results of what happens, and you say, boy, I want to get in on that. That's the ministry of giving. It is a miracle. And let me say this: when God can trust His people with money, He sees that they always have plenty for themselves and others. I don't have a lot of money, I'll be honest with you. I mean, God's been good to the Jones family. We're not in an overabundance of money, but I ever since I've been doing Faith Promise, you can ask my wife. When I went into the ministry over 20 years ago, I took a 60% pay cut. 60%, and we were doing Faith Promise at that time. And when I took that 60% pay cut to go full-time in the ministry, and this is not a knock against my wife. She's, it's just sensibility. It's all it is. And she took what we owed, and she got a calculator out, and she added up all of our bills, and she said, now, how much are you going to be making? And I told her, and she took what I was going to make, and she took what I was going to make and subtracted what our bills were, and she said, we're not going to be able to pay our bills with that. I said, I know. And then she looked at me and she said, God didn't tell you no, did he? I said, mm-mm. Matter of fact, he told me yes. And 20 years into this, over 20 years, we never wrote, and we didn't have enough money to pay our bills. Ask my wife, we didn't have it. But within those 20 years, can I tell you, we never wrote one bad check. We were never late on one bill. We were able to pay our tithes and our faith promise, not drop anything of what we were doing. And the good graces of God met every need that we had. I'm not saying it wasn't tight, and I'm not going to say our month didn't run out of money. It did. But I will say this, God provided everything we need. We serve a big, big God. And the same God I serve in Mills River, North Carolina, guess what? It's the same God in Goodyear, Arizona. I say there is that plenty of that of it. Then we see the providing of it here in verse 10. It says, now that he that ministers seed to the sower, both ministers bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. God will. I'm talking about God. And not only that, but he promised. He says, and both minister bread for your food. He'll take care of you. Back in 2019, this was pre-COVID. We've got a warehouse at our local church where we do disaster relief there at Anchor Baptist Church, and we've done disaster relief in Sri Lanka and around the world and there locally and in our town and in different places. We've done hurricane, tornado relief. I mean, we've done it all. And this was November of 2019. And I remember there was a semi broke down not far from the ministry, and they called us up and they says, can your ministry handle a 53-foot truck of frozen meat? Well, my pastor's not going to turn that down. He said, yeah, we can do that. And I'm like, and I was traveling at that time, and I was home. Matter of fact, I was home when all that happened. And he says, guess what we got? And he told me, I said, how are we going to handle that? He said, I don't know. We're just going to handle it. We have a semi and a trailer, and we backed our semi right up to that other semi, unloaded all that meat, filled up all of our walk-in freezers. We had chest freezers. We had them all stacked full. And then he sent a text out to the ministry, said, bring your coolers, fill your freezers full of meat. And we did. I'm being honest, though. But when I went home, I had a coolers full of meat, and I was putting it in our freezer, and I questioned God. I said, God, why all this meat? I said, I'm never home. I rarely eat dinner at my dinner table. Rarely. I rarely sleep in my bed. I'm rarely here at all. And why would you give us all this meat? I'll never eat all this meat. That was November of 2019. Y'all remember what happened in March, February of 2020? I mean, that was a bad word, but COVID hit. In 3 days, I lost every meeting I had in 2020. 3 days. That means love offerings were gone. Yet in the midst of all that, before that ever happened, God provided food in our cooler. I was home. I lost every meeting I had there for a little while. It all came back pretty quickly. And I was sitting there eating dinner at my dinner table with my wife and my two daughters, and I'm sitting there, and one night it struck me, and I started weeping, crying, because we had $80 roast in our freezer, which I cannot afford. We had big cowboy steaks, and man, them things were good. We had big cowboy steaks. We had the other white meat called pork. Say amen. We had pork chops. I mean, we had ribeyes. We had T-bones. We had all that. And I was just amazed. We don't never buy that stuff because we can't afford it. And we're sitting there and tears rolling off my face. And my wife said, what's wrong with you? I said, don't you get it? I said, before there was ever a virus we couldn't see. I said, God made a truck break down in our town, and they called Anchor, and we brought all that meat to Anchor. God filled our freezer up, knowing I was going to lose every meeting I had in 2020, and God was taking care of us because we were willing to pay our faith promise and tithe and do everything that God wants us to. Can I say, God took care of every need we had. That's how God works. I say there's the providing of it, promise, your food. There's the perpetualness of it. God will take care of you first. And let me move along. And all that he's saying in here in verse number 10, and he says, in your bread and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Verse 11, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us what? The thanksgiving of God. Can I say there is that perpetualness of it? When you give, God gives. When you withhold, God withholds. When you sow, you reap. When you don't, you weep. And we looked at that, you know, we looked at that verse this morning about give, and it shall be given you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. God say, God will provide for you. But look at what he said here, and I read it already. And he said in verse 11, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Can I say, there's the praise in here of giving. Giving should bring a revival in the church. That's what happened to the church of Philippi in chapter number 4 when it says your giving flourished again. When Paul was talking to the church of Philippi, he says your giving has flourished again. You know what the word flourish means? To revive. Can I say, if you start giving, God can bring a new breath of life in a church. I've seen it time and time again. And the aspect of it and the people here, and we looked at it just the other day about how God, Paul used the church of Macedonia and how that they gave what? And the great trial of affliction in verse number 2 and of chapter 8, and the abundance of their joy. And I say, giving to God should be a joyful thing, a happy time. And it should give us what? Thanksgiving. It should drive you when that offering plate comes by. Somewhere down the line, you should say, God, thank you for allowing me to give back to you. There should be that worship in us and that praise and that aspect. And so we see the givers should be praising God. Can I say this? Not only that, how about the participants? Because he says this in verse number 12 of chapter 9. For the ministration of this service not only supplieth the wants of the saints, but it is abundant also by the many thanks given unto Christ, while by the experience of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for the liberal distribution unto them with all men. Can I say those that receive it will give thanksgiving? I live on both sides of the coin. I do faith promise in our local church, but my wife and I also live by the gifts of faith promise from other churches. We're church supported. That's how my wife and I live. We help missionaries all across the U.S. and around the world, and furlough relief and allow them to go on vacation, supplies and different things of that nature, and other aspects of the ministry is what God's called us to do. And that's what we have been doing for, I guess, probably about 12, 13 years now. And God's been faithful. And I give God thanks when I can put my faith promise check in that offering and say, God, thank you for giving what you've laid on my heart and meeting that needs. Well, I just thank you. But when I get my report every month, I get it once a month, I get paid once a month from our faith promise for our missions supply. When I look at that, I read over every church that gave. You know what I do? I thank God for that. I get to thank on both sides of the coin, which is a good thing. But when you give, a lot of times you don't see the other side of that. But I promise you, it's going on. I was thinking about a man. His name is Enoch. Enoch, he ministers to the Guatney people down in South America. He's down there, and the Guatney people at one time were cannibalist people. They're very brutal people still to this day. They have literally beaten Enoch, I think, four times, left him for dead for three times. Enoch has so many scars on his head, he can't grow hair. He's got scars on his arms. And I was doing, during COVID, I was doing a missions conference by the way of Zoom there at Anchor, and we had 95 preachers out of South America on that Zoom call. We had services, and we preached to them. Well, in the middle of that service, they give a few of them to give an update on their work and tell of their need. And Enoch got on there, and he was bragging on what God has done there with the Guatney people and how some has been saved and how God's moving. But he also said this. He says, and he made a statement in the midst of his presentation, and he says, and I walk 8 to 10 hours at night to be at the next village by the next morning. And I said, in the back of my mind, I'm like, did he just say that? And after all the presentation, they looked at us, said, you got any questions? I said, I sure do. I said, Enoch, I said, I had to have a translator. I said, I need Enoch to come back on. And Enoch, he came back on. I said, through a translator, because he speaks Spanish. I said, ask Enoch, why does he walk at night? And he come back and he says, I walk at night because it's the coolest time of the day. It's 120 degrees during the day. And he says it's like that. Y'all experience that, don't you? But it's like that all the time where he's at and the equator and everything. He says it's hot down here. And I says, and you walk? I said, and through the trial, I said, do you not have a motorbike, Enoch? He said, nope, can't afford one. And I said, wow, that's amazing. And I didn't ask no more questions. After that meeting, I said, Enoch needs a motorbike. And I went to three churches right after that meeting, and I raised $1,600 to buy Enoch a motorbike. And I got a hold of a missionary that I know well down there in South America. I says, get Enoch, bring him to Santa Cruz, him and his wife, put him in a hotel, buy him the best meal he's ever had, love on him. And I says, and take him to the motorcycle shop, but don't tell him why you're going. I said, take him up there, and I says, I'm going to forward you the money in your account, and you're going to go buy Enoch a motorbike. So Enoch came up. He brought Enoch up there, and oh, Enoch, he was there, and they loved on Enoch and his wife. And he said, Enoch, I got stopped by this motorbike shop. He said, come in with me. He said, I got to do some business in here. And oh, Enoch, he's a little old bitty dude. He has to jump to get on the motorbike. I'm not exaggerating. I mean, it's amazing. And he got up, and that missionary was watching Enoch, and Enoch was on him. He hopped up on one of the motorbikes, and he's going, smiling, you know, like he's riding that thing. And that missionary says, you want one of them, Enoch? He says, I'd love to have one. And that missionary says, which one do you like, Enoch? He says, the one I'm on. He said, that's good, Enoch. And he took and he handed the keys to Enoch. He said, Enoch, the reason I come to this motorcycle shop, he said, there was some folks in America wanted to buy you a motorbike. He sent me pictures of Enoch and video, and Enoch was smiling from ear to ear, and he gave a video. He says, whoever gave, I want to thank you for investing in the ministry of the Guatney people. Since that time, he led the chief of the Guatney people to the Lord, and the chief of the Guatney people got up there, and he says, nobody is to touch Enoch ever again. Enoch, we're going to give him land. He's going to be able to build a church. He says, everybody's going to love Enoch, and he says, don't you dare touch Enoch at all. And I was down in South America and preached in the missions conference that I did on Zoom a couple years ago. And I got down there and Enoch was there and I got to finally meet him face to face. I said, where's the motorbike, Enoch? He said, oh, wrecked it. I'm like, what? He said, wrecked it. I said, huh. I'm like, I'm counting pennies in my mind. I'm like, do I have $1,600 to buy him one? And so I made a few phone calls back at home. I said, I need $1,600. And they said, it's yours. And I had somebody send it to me. And I bought it. I said, Enoch, I said, let's go back to that shop. And while we were going, I was talking to Enoch. I said, Enoch, I hate that you wrecked your motorbike. He said, oh, perfect will of God. I said, what do you mean wrecking a bike's a perfect will of God? He says, if I didn't wreck it, he says, I wouldn't have led them five people to the Lord. He says, I was riding by their house, but when I had to walk, I had to stop by and talk to them. And he said, I led five people to the Lord because God wrecked my motorbike. But he got him a new one. And I say, the other side of that you never see. When you give in that offering plate, I want you to know and I want you to realize that while you're praising God on this side, you're thanking God because you can put your offering in this side. I want you to know there's a missionary on the other side of that giving that is thanking God because there was a church that sacrificially gave, that followed the will of God, that followed the heart of God, and they wrote down their faith promise card, and God laid a number, and they followed God in perfect obedience in what they were doing, and they filled it out, and God was faithful, and you were faithful, and that missionary's faithful on the other side. Can I say, oh, it should bring a praise. Not only on our end, but may I say it brings a praise on the other end. And I say there's that, and I could look at other stories, Philippines. I've helped build buildings in the Philippines, feeding on Indian reservations. I've raised $50,000 in India to build an orphanage in India that's been erected up, and there's 120 children off the streets now sitting under a Bible preaching Sam Koala there in India, and there's young folks there, young children that has a warm place to sleep, warm food to eat. They've got a good, true gospel witness, and I've got videos from them children just rejoicing over the goodness of God and thanking us for giving to them. Can I say, God is just so good when you just follow God and watch Him work. And I say, the people praise the participants. But may I say in verse 15, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. And I know there's some say it's the missionaries, but I don't think so. I think this unspeakable gift is Jesus. I think it's those that receive Him. And may I say, you remember the day you got saved and you thank God for saving your soul. Well, can I say, all of us on this side, as we get saved by the grace of God, we rejoice. And then there's those on those foreign mission fields. And every dollar you give and every time you put your money in that offering plate, can I say, you're introducing them to the greatest gift that's ever been given. And that's the gift of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And everybody that's been truly born again, can I say, they've never said, well, I wish I never would have got saved. Most of them says, I wish I'd have known sooner. And I got saved at the age of 26 years old. And can I tell you, I wished I'd have got saved sooner. But I'm thankful for that unspeakable gift. And there's that participants. But may I say, the precious Savior is being thanked. But we're doing it all at the same time. There's people in the Hindu language thanking God because they're born again. You got people in Cebuano and Tagalog and all the other languages and Japanese and the Chinese language and all those, the people in Alaska and people here in Goodyear, Arizona and other places are being born again. And may I say, all of us at one time are raising our hands or thanking God, I've been born again. Thank God for the unspeakable gift. Conversion of a soul from darkness to light. from sin to holiness, from Satan to God. It's called that new creation. Adam Clark said this, to have the grace of God to rule the heart, subduing all things to itself, filling the soul with divine nature is an unspeakable blessing. The energy that it produces is an unspeakable gift. And the work of Christ in a soul and what God is doing, can I say, he said it was a superabounding, exceeding great grace, and that is the unspeakable gift. Can I say, I'm grateful for the grace of God. I say, when you give to missions, you have the opportunity to say, thank you, Lord. And then the other side of that, that missionary receives that love gift. And they read that report, Harvest Baptist Church, Goodyear, Arizona. And he'll be thanking that congregation there in Goodyear. And I do that with mine every month. I go through it thanking God for everybody that's given to me. And those gifts that they give. And there's some that give personally, and I know it's sacrificial. And I just bow my unworthy head saying, God, I'm not worthy of a dime of that, but you are. And I've seen folks in my ministry saved. I've seen marriages reconciled. I've seen prodigals come home. I've watched pastors and missionaries encouraged to stay on the field. I've watched God do things that was just unspeakable. I mean, it's just amazing to watch God work. May I say, as a missionary on my side, I can't do what I do without the help of God's people. And I stand here before you as you give. I want you to know, thank you for giving. So we can introduce the world, that lost world, and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. So they too can be saved by the grace of God and be thanking God for the unspeakable gift. Can I say, when you give to Faith Promise, can I say there's a thanks in Faith Promise? The people get to thank God, the participants, but may I say, we can all thank the precious Savior for that unspeakable gift. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we love you. We thank you for Faith Promise. We thank you for what it can do to us and how it supplies. And Lord, there are so many things about Faith Promise we just didn't have time to even touch on in this meeting. But Lord, I pray that through the year and as the pastor through the year, maybe you'll touch his heart to expound more on Faith Promise giving and the joy of it. But again, Lord, I've tried to provide one more time. We'll never outgive you. Your tablespoon is a whole lot bigger than our shovel. Yes, we may not see the outcome. We may get a glimpse on a prayer letter. Lord, we may just get a moment through a few words, but God, it's bigger than that. God, you're working. And Lord, to be a part of your work, what a joy it is. So Lord, I'm asking, if there's some people on the fence about giving, God, may they trust you. And God, may you do some great things in their lives so they can do more. Maybe hear a report about their giving, how they helped some sinner that was lost and that was saved by the grace of God. Thank you, God, for your unspeakable gift. We bless your name and thank you for being so good to us. And we ask it in the name which is above every name, and that's at the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Pastor, thank you.
Place this morning. This evening is a heads bow just for a moment. Let's have a time of prayer. And God has spoken to your heart this morning about missions, about the Lord would have you to do. I know most of us have turned in our commitment cards, but maybe there's more. Maybe there's being a little more proactive here in our community of being a missionary right here where you live, just inviting folks to church, sharing your faith, sharing your testimony, just loving on people where they are and where you see them. Let's each of us pray tonight and asking the Lord to speak to our hearts in this area and as he's promised there in our passage that we looked at tonight. May all grace abound in all things, all sufficiency into every good work. And dear friends, it's a good work to carry the gospel across the street. It's a good work to carry the gospel around your neighborhood. It's a good work to carry the gospel across the U.S. and abroad, as Acts says, to all the world and preach the gospel. Into Jerusalem, Judea, to Samaria, and to the uttermost. These are all good works that God desires for us to have a part in. You pray with me as we pray this evening before we close and ask the Lord to continue to work in your heart and your life and ask him, Lord, I've given as you asked. I've made a commitment. I'm going to give to missions. And now would you pray and say, Lord, what would you have me to do here at Harvest Baptist Church? How can you be more involved? How can you be involved if you haven't got involved yet? That even that neighbor down the road across the street. That young man, young woman who waits on you in the restaurant or serves you or rings up your groceries at the grocery store that you see each and every week when you go in. Maybe the Lord have you to start being friendly to them, building a relationship, inviting them to church. Say, Lord, what else would you have me to do? Let's pray. Father, how truly grateful we are for the privilege to serve here in Goodyear at Harvest Baptist Church. Father, would you help Michelle and I as pastor and pastor's wife to set the example and always be loving on others, encouraging others, witnessing, giving, and going. Lord, help us to have always a spirit of joy in our heart and our life and our service. And Father, we as a church do that together. May we pull together in the same direction in reaching our community and reaching the world. Father, thank you for bringing Brother Jones our way this past year and again this week. And Brother Nez and Brother Harrison, Brother Davis, what a joy it's been to spend time with their families. I pray now that you would bless them as they prepare to travel back to their respective places tomorrow. Give them safety as they travel, that you would encourage, strengthen, and protect them. And now, Father, as we prepare to dismiss in a few moments, I pray you would bless our food, bless the fellowship around the tables. May it be uplifting and glorifying to you. May we continue to get to know one another better as we get to know our missionaries. And Father, again, thank you so much for all that you've done here over the last couple of days. And we look forward and excited about what you'll do in the future. Bless with this meet as we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll be dismissed here in just a moment. I was just going to see if they have finished tallying up those gifts there for tonight. And I know we'll have some more that'll come in over the next week or two for those that are traveling or out of town. I trust you have done as the Lord has led you. All right, well, while we do some quick research, just take a moment. Anyone else just have a blessing they want to share? God's been good to you. Can't stand it, jumping up and down. Can't hardly stand it. Just got to tell somebody how good the Lord is. Surely somebody's been blessed in this room other than has already given a testimony. Well, I can stand here and look at you as long as you can look at me. Brother Sam. Amen. Continue to pray for Sam Jr. He'll also be traveling out tomorrow. Pray for his family, Swiss Christiana. Amen. Amen. Anyone else want to share a blessing? Brother Tony. It's enjoyable to get, I'm sorry, go ahead. It's good to get in on the blessings of God and his provisions. Amen. Anyone else want to share a blessing and testimony? Lillian, you got a testimony you want to share, sweetheart? Lillian, you want to say anything? Talking to your daughter, Abigail. So through our love offerings over this past weekend, including today, and we've been helping out our missionaries and are giving our love offering, $14,420 has come in for as combined, and that concludes the projects as well. And so actually, it's over $20,000. There's also another $6,000 or $8,000 that's went out for special projects and helping some of the missionaries that's here and some that's already left, and then the $14,200. And then by the grace of God, let's see, as the Lord allows, and I'm sure we'll still have a few more come in, but to date tonight, we as a church family will be giving $48,970 a year to missions. $48,970. You know, I think by faith or just trust the Lord, that's going to bump up another $130 to $50,000 even. Amen. 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 I'm excited. Well, if you're excited about that, stand up. So let's continue to give. Amen. Praise God. Praise God for his goodness to us. Let's continue to give and continue to serve and trust the Lord to see what he will do for us. And folks, that means that of course, we'll be having our business meeting Wednesday night, but that means we will be able to take up, our missionaries are here with us in the conference. We'll be able to go back and pick up the Stone family as well. And then we may be able to pick up some of maybe a little additional support for our missionaries, especially those who are involved in church planning. And so we'll talk about all those stuff and things on Wednesday nights. All right, I've already prayed. I've asked God's blessings on the food. Please don't stop in fellowship with the missionaries here in the building. Go ahead and make your way to the fellowship hall. We've already prayed. We've already asked God's blessings. Michelle's already headed that way. We'll have a little food, a little fellowship, and time together. You don't have to eat if you don't want to, but go over and fellowship. And I believe there's still some gluten-free options left over as well. God bless you. As always, God loves you. His preacher loves you. And your pastor is excited and encouraged. Can't wait till the next conference. God bless you. See you over the fellowship hall.